Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
All right. It's good to see everybody. You know, I was thinking about today, and it's one of the Sundays that I always look forward to, and every year that now this is our second annual Boy Scout Sunday service, and I'm excited about it because it brings our scouting ministry family together with our church family, all to worship the same God together and enjoy His presence. I just absolutely think it's one of the neatest things that we do. I really do. And we put a lot of thought into the detail of our service. And when Pastor Barry mentioned Patrick on the keys over there, I told him, I said, pick any song you want. I want you to do the third song. And hits the that's the song he picked, which, for those of you that don't know the Boy Scout law, one of the points, a couple of the points are, the last two are clean and reverent. So when he was singing that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart, we think of it a lot of times as picking up trash somewhere. But clean also has to do with reverence as well. We need to be clean in our heart, our hands and our heart, you know. And I just thought, wow, what a great choice of a song. That was all Patrick doing that, and that's what I loved about it. Because it's about, I want you to see the quality of the boys that we have in our troop. And you're going to be seeing some other ones here shortly. And I just love, renew a right spirit within me. I just love the scouting ministry. It is the perfect thing when you see what they had up there for me before, a pastor of discipleship and fellowship. I honestly can't think of a better ministry that embodies fellowship and discipleship like the scouting ministry does. It is the epitome of what those things are. I love the leaders here. We dedicated our lives to these guys. We take a lot of time, effort, money, you name it. We put a lot into it for a particular reason. Yes, we go out into the woods and do our guy stuff. We will throw rocks. We will bushwhack our own trail when we want to do that. We will light big fire of fellowship so it can be seen from space. That will happen. But ultimately, the thing that underpins our whole ministry is helping boys become godly men. That is our mission. So you can see how encouraged I am when you see the boys that you're going to hear from today, because they also embody that same spirit in them. And our first full year at St. Charles River Church, I just want to take a quick minute to be the first to thank Pastor Barry. When our unit needed a home, he opened up the doors, and we have enjoyed our first year here. And I thank you, church, for sharing the space with us. Thank you very much. It is no small thing, believe me. I know to you, you think it's no big deal that we have a place here, but it was a big deal to us, and I just want to make sure you guys all know that we sincerely appreciate it, and we look forward to many years here with you. And speaking of that, our unit, I thought I would use this time to announce that is giving a special gift to the church for letting us be here, and you're going to notice it. It's going to be something that impacts you ultimately later on. Hopefully, it will be in later by the end of this month is what our goal is, but our unit committee met and approved the purchase of a new, and this is the geek word for it, not Greek word, I'm not preaching, geek word, super powerful is the geek word for this Wi-Fi system that will go through the entire building with repeaters and everything, so we'll be able to do a lot of fun stuff. Isn't that great? We just wanted to be a blessing to you, the church family, and also Joy Community will benefit from it. Everybody will be able to use it. It's something greatly needed here so we can enhance our video usage and the Wi-Fi system. And speaking of, one of the things with our Boy Scout ranks is everybody's familiar with the Eagle Scout rank. It's been out there 100 years now, and it's very familiar. You've met Eagle Scouts in your life, I'm sure. I am pleased to announce that last year, and this is fantastic, that we had 6 boys achieve Eagle Scout, which is phenomenal. Most troops are lucky to get one a year. And I love being around these guys, and I say that to say we had a boy do an Eagle Scout project last year that impacted this church directly. All these Eagle Scout projects are fantastic projects where the boys need to find a charity, a nonprofit of some kind, or a church, or anything in the community that they can do to benefit other people and places. And this one project impacted us so much that it started a new ministry here at the church. And I told him this morning, I said, there are a lot of people that want to meet who you are, because it's impacted not only this church, but surrounding churches and also other ministries that are coming to get food to put in backpacks for the kids at the elementary school. It's branching out right now. I am excited about how fast it's quickly growing, but I want you to hear from him and see him. So I'm going to call Mason Les to come up here to come share about his project that he did for you.
Hi, I'm Mason Les, and back in November, I completed my Eagle Scout project here at St. Charles River Church. Through many donations, discounts, and God's great blessings, we were able to build a food pantry complete with professional and commercial-grade shelving units, food carts for under $1,000, but has a value of over $10,000. The pantry is now fully stocked with over 10,000 food items. This pantry will help ensure those in need in this community will not go hungry.
Nice job, man. Bravo. Yeah.
You see why I'm so excited about these guys. Well, we also have another something special for you from a couple of our older boys. Also, I'm going to have Henry Filipek and Stephen Durinsky come up here, and what they're going to do is share a little video presentation of what our troop did last year, and this way you guys can get an idea of what we do with our time out there in the woods.
Good morning, everyone. So this year, I'm Steven, and this is Henry, and so we're going to go over our last year and just what we've done in campouts. And Henry, take it away.
Sweet.
All right, so this is mop making. It's a really cool campout that we have every year. It takes place at night, which is why most of our pictures aren't there. All the action's at night. And so basically, it's a big challenge course. It's like over 3 miles, and it has a bunch of points on the over the course. And the patrols, they use a compass and they use their navigation skills to get to each point. And at each point, there's an obstacle that the patrol has to overcome. And that obstacle uses their, like, scout skills that they've learned over the course of the year. And those scout skills can be anything from, like, fire building to knot tying to building up a shelter to stuff like that. So, and over the course of that entire time, the scouts are being graded on how well they're doing, like how well they're using their teamwork and their stealthiness going through the woods. Yeah, stealthiness. And they going through the woods using their orienteering skills and navigating skills. And every year there's a winner, and that winner is airborne up there. That was last year. And they get some mad bragging rights throughout the entire year. And it's also it's really cool because it really tests our skills. It really tests our teamwork through our patrols, because that's really important for a patrol. We also get a pig roast, so that's cool.
Pig roast is very good, by the way. Our next one was Tender Toes, which is a camp out for us to teach new skills and new scout skills to our new incoming scouts, or like what we call them first years. So our brand new scouts are coming over from Cub Scouts into Boy Scouts. So we go through and we teach them different skills from camping, fire building, cooking, first aid, all anything and everything they need in order to rank up their first few ranks and to get a base starting into scouting. And so we do that in April. And so like all the older scouts go out and teach, set up different areas, and we teach them all sorts of different things. And next up,
the shotgun camp out. So this is a camp out that we have every single year. It's kind of a big highlight of the year. We just go out and we shoot shotguns. That's kind of the highlight of the camp out. So it's really cool because anywhere else, most of us would not get the opportunity to just go shoot shotguns. So this is something in Boy Scouts that we get to do that a lot of other kids don't get to do.
Thank you. So summer camp. You hear a lot about it from your scouts, different people, saying like it's a huge thing in scouting. It's an entire week-long time of out in the wilderness with your fellow guys. So here we have our entire troop, and throughout the camp, we have a bunch of different things that you can do, like merit badges, which can help us for rank advancement, or you can have different things for activities. For like aquatics, we have like some type of like scout, like it was an older boy thing where they went through and they did like different activities in the water. Where, for example, where we have, you can also dress up. So we have Mr. Les and Seth Thompson dressed up there. And so like they did some belly flop competitions, they climbed some different things, they did a mile swim, and then campfire. You have to have campfire. It's the first thing you do when you arrive that night. And it's a bunch of different skits that you do. It's a bunch of different things that you watch. It's just a great time, great atmosphere. And then throughout the week, you can do so many different things. For example, for us, on Thursday night, I think it was, we went through and we did a canoe trip. We were going to, but the weather ended up taking the turn for the worse, so we couldn't go where we were wanting to. But it's a canoe trip that we can go out and like just canoe on the water, and then we're going to go find somewhere to camp out for the night. And it was just going to be a great experience. And so far, I enjoy summer camp, so that's what I have to say about it.
The road trip. Okay, so every 2 years, we go on a road trip. Last, in 2016, we went on the Great Lakes, and this year we went to Colorado. This was a really, really fun and really big highlight of our year. We got to go to Pikes Peak, and we got to go hike up Mount Bierstadt, which was really cool. It was a 14-er. Whitewater rafting. If you actually look really close, you can't really see it, but that's like seconds away before Mr. Winkleman fell out of the raft. So I made sure to include that one. Yeah, Mr. Winkleman. We got to go to the U.S. Air Force Academy, which was cool because one of our like scouts who have graduated out of our troop attended the Air Force Academy. That was really cool. And so basically we just traveled around to a bunch of cool places in Colorado, and we traveled up. The adventure in itself was driving up Pikes Peak in a 14-passenger van. So that was cool.
That was interesting. We learned our lesson from that. But so backpacking. So we have, this year we're going to be going to a place called Philmont, which is I don't know how to say it. It's a giant hike for us to do. It's a week-long thing that we go to New Mexico for. So throughout the year before going onto it, we have to go through different, like, trainings. So, like, we go on different backpacking trips so we would get prepared for it. And this was one of our first ones that we did for a backpacking camp out. And so we just went out and did some camping. We went to a parking lot, and from that parking lot, we hiked a few miles into a camp. And then the next day, we hiked 12 miles to our next camp out. And then from that camp out, we hiked back to the parking lot. And so, like, we had to carry all of our food, all of our gear, and all of our water on with us. And so it was just a good time to talk with people and just hike.
So this is Scout Skills. It's kind of like Tender Toes. We devote it to teaching our younger scouts and helping them sign off requirements for, like, their lower ranks. Most of the lower ranks are really skills-based and, like, scout skills-based, like knot tying and fire building. And so that's exactly what this is, like. So we learn knots, and so that's one of the requirements. We go on a hike. That's also another one of those requirements that we help them sign off on.
All right, Fall Camporee. Fall Camporee is just a giant camp that has a bunch of different troops and different organizations coming through together that the district, Boone Trails District, which is where we're a part of, all come together and just camp out in a giant place. And so we have different people who come through and staff it, and so that way they have different activities for the people to come through and do. while you're there?
Rappelling, rock climbing. So that's another one. It's kind of like the shotgun, but it's devoted to rock climbing. We go down to SBRF Scout Reservation in Farmington, and we just go rappelling and rock climbing on real rocks and real cliffs, not the fake plastic ones. So that's pretty cool. It's really cool because it really pushes a lot of us scouts out of our comfort zones, and anywhere else we wouldn't be able to do that. So that's really cool.
Alright, freeze out. This was our most recent camp out. And so the first night we went through and we stayed at a cabin for a night. And after that we went to hike out to another camp to where we would just find a camp in the backcountry of SBRF. And we'd camp there making our own shelters out of tarps and stuff. But along the way we came across the giant waterfall because our inconvenience, we couldn't cross a bridge because it flooded and iced over. So we found this beautiful waterfall in the meantime. And then this was just kind of seconds after they were shaking a bridge and making the water look pretty cool. So,
yes. A few stories behind that. All right, so as you can tell, we had a really, really busy year, and it's basically like that every single year. Every month we do something different. It's really cool. I mean, I'll always remember the time I got to go rock climbing, or the time I got to hike Mount Bustet, or the time Mr. Winkleman fell out of his raft. Always remember that. It's really cool, and it's only because of you guys' support and St. Charles River Church's generosity that we can do any of that. So thank you from Troop 957.
Thank you. Nice job. Very nice.
Yes, we also have, we've been highlighting a lot of stuff in the troop, but we also have a very active Cub Scout pack as well. What you're going to find outside on the information tables when you leave, if you are a parent or you know some families that have young people that you can try to rope into doing this ministry here, we figure a lot of times it's easy to get people to come do something fun, right? So it's a great outreach tool. So we have information out there, and we're going to have it staffed with some of our most knowledgeable people so that after the service, if you just have questions like about Cub Scouts, about Boy Scouts, what we do, where we go, they'll be more than happy to answer all your questions, and you can walk away with something that has our website on it with all those other details. But the main thing is the Cub Scouts also do a full year packed of stuff like this too, but for time's sake, we just picked the scout troop this year. But just keep in mind, there is a lot of stuff going on, and just be sure to see our tables out there later on when you're leaving. And for myself, I want to throw in that after now officially raising four kids myself, my youngest, Matthew, just turned 18 yesterday. So I was thinking about, you know, what are some of the things as parents that you can do, you know, for your children that will show a spiritual legacy also with what you pick for them and kind of encourage them to do. And I have found that if you can give a young person a consistent message at home, at church, at school, and in their other activities where you have these quality people that you can be around, you have a very good chance of training a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it, Proverbs 22. So I love this tool that we have here. This ministry is so important, and it's a great outreach tool also. So if you see people that you know in life that you come across, be sure to tell them about our organization here. It gets them one step in the door and being around people that'll show them the love of Christ, one of which you're going to hear from right now. My son, Matthew, a.k.a. Skipper, to the scouting buddies over here, he says that this person that you're going to hear from, Joe, is one of the most influential people in his life. That is a big part of his growing up and how he got his perspective. He is our beloved master of our scout troop, 957, and 5 out of 5 boys say he is the bomb.com. And what was the third thing you wanted me to say, Joe? Oh, that's right. Yes, he is absolutely OCD about anything at any time. That's it. Yeah. So at this time, will you help me welcome to the platform again this year, Mr. Joe Winkleman?
So the real story with the raft is Stephen and I were both going out of the boat, but all the boys grabbed and saved Stephen and let me go. So So I don't know what that says, but so good morning. And thank you. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that it's really only been just a year that we have been here. I really feel like it's been forever, and that's a good thing. What I mean by that is that our transition here was very, very easy, was very pleasant. I mean, things just went smoothly. I really feel like this is home. I feel like that I'm a part of the team here. And so just thank you so much, so much for all that you've done to help us. Now, for those of you who may not know, we approach scouting a little differently than other troops. We approach scouting as a ministry. And I said this last year, but it's worth repeating for those of you who maybe didn't hear it. You know, it's no secret that the BSA, that they've made some bad decisions regarding moral issues. And as a result of that, it's making it difficult for many faith-based organizations to continue with them. But one thing that they have done is that they have allowed the individual units to kind of define their own standards. They have allowed us to set the leadership standards for our troop. And that is huge for us, which means that the BSA is still a viable tool for us. And that's exactly what it is. Just like Paul, when he was in Athens, he used a secular object. He used a statue of an unknown God, a thing made by the hands of man to proclaim the gospel. That's what we do with the scouting ministry. We use scouting as a tool to help boys become godly men. That is our goal. That is our mission, helping boys become godly men. And that is my heartbeat, and that is echoed in the heartbeat of so many of our leaders. And so, again, we just thank you for allowing us to join you and just making us feel welcome here. So we so much, so much appreciate it. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Word. I'm not going to sing the message. So how many of you know what this is? Anybody know? Anybody willing to admit it? So you remember the video game Guitar Hero? All right, this is a game that came out about 10 years or so ago, and it really revolutionized the gaming industry. Now, for those of you who don't know, what Guitar Hero is it's a video game where you play the role of the lead guitar player in a band. And so the way this works is that, and you'll see this on the screen, there are colored dots that scroll down the screen to represent the notes in a song. And so your role is to press the corresponding keys on this little plastic guitar. And if you press the keys in the proper order and the proper timing, then it makes this awesome guitar sound that goes along with the song. But if you get them wrong, then it makes this kind of thud sound. And if you hit enough of them wrong, the crowd actually turns against you and they boo you off the stage, you know, game over. However, if you hit them right, you get star power. And the board comes alive and the crowd starts screaming and the music gets louder and lightning and all this stuff starts happening on the screen, and you feel like you're a rock star. Now, this game was not just popular for the youth. All right, this game was for everyone. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. And so Kathy and I, along with many other moms and dads, we would wait for Caleb to go to bed so we could grab the little plastic guitar and pretend that we were rock stars. Now, you laugh, but I know that we were not alone. So how many of you have ever played this game? Yes, many, many, many of us have. So I did some research, and there has been over 23 million Guitar Hero video games sold. They had a net earning of over $2 billion. They were the first video game to ever break the $1 billion barrier. They claim to be the third largest video game franchise in history. During their heyday, they represented half of all the video games that were sold in a year. So this thing was a cultural phenomenon, and it really changed the gaming industry. Why was it so popular? I mean, what made this game a number one seller? I think that one of the reasons is that because it appeals to that part of us that wants to be a star. When you're caught up in the moment with your little plastic guitar, you get this rock star rush. And for a moment, you feel like you're the one that's on the stage. You're the one that's up there on the platform. So how many of you have ever dreamed of being a star? You know, maybe it's a wide receiver playing in the big game today where you make the winning touchdown catch in the Super Bowl. Or maybe it's Yadi Molina or Matt Carpenter who sends one into the bleachers during the World Series. Maybe it's actually a rock star, you know, laying down some kind of an awesome guitar riff or a riveting drum solo that goes viral on YouTube. Maybe it's something more holy. Maybe it's a preacher who stands before thousands who are visibly touched by the mighty move of God. Or maybe it's a vocalist who sings an awesome life-altering song that touches hundreds. I mean, have you ever had those kinds of dreams? I think we've all dreamt of those kinds of things. We've all dreamt of being superstars. Well, why? Why is that? What is so appealing about being a star? Well, I think that we view stars as someone who makes a difference. Someone who is remembered far after they're gone. Someone who has done something significant or made an impact on the world. Someone who has done something that matters. Which raises the question of what matters. I mean, when all is said and done, what really matters in life? We spend an enormous amount of time and money doing stuff. Does it matter? I'm an engineer at Boeing and part of a project right now that is behind schedule, and so I've been spending the past several weeks 15, 20 hours of overtime. Does it matter in the end? We try to accumulate money so that we can enjoy the comforts of life, like Guitar Hero. Does that matter? I volunteer here as a Boy Scout, as well as in my home church in a variety of different ways. Does that matter in the end? I mean, when it really comes down to it, what matters? What really matters? Now, society has an answer to that question, and you could probably guess the answer just by simply what we see in the media, what we see on commercials, or what we see in Hollywood. Their answer, we're bombarded with it every single day. Their answer, make lots of money. Buy nice cars and toys and boats. After all, when you're sitting in front of a 52-inch HD TV with 12 channels of surround sound and a leather chair that does everything but pour your drink, I mean, that's the epitome of happiness. That's heaven on earth, right? What really matters is our pleasures and our comforts. Or drive around in a car that talks to you and warms your buns at the same time. Man, life doesn't get any better than that, does it? I mean, that's what really matters. Our image, our convenience. Work hard to make it to the corner office. Then you can tell people what to do and they'll actually have to do it. I mean, that's what really matters. Your power, your prestige. Diet, work out, buy fancy clothes. Then people will notice you and you'll stand out in the crowd. That's what really matters. Your appearance, your popularity. It really can be summarized with one word. Me. My pleasures, my comfort, my images, my convenience, my power, my prestige, my appearance, my popularity, me, 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 me. That's the answer from the world. What really matters is me. Sad thing is that many people buy into that lie, and it is a lie. Many people buy into the lie, and they spend a lifetime pursuing those very things. Sadder yet is the number of Christians who answer the question in the exact same way. You know, America is so disgustingly saturated with this me-first materialistic philosophy that it is nearly impossible to not be infected at some level. Our kids, these scouts, I mean, they don't even have a reference point for anything else. And that's sad. I mean, that is really sad. There's a verse in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. It says, and this is Solomon talking, it says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all of this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all of my work, and this was the reward for all of my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. In other words, it didn't matter. None of it. It didn't matter. Solomon figured that out 3,000 years ago, and we're still trying to figure it out for ourselves today. We're going to arrive at the same conclusion that he did. In the end, those things don't matter. So the question still remains, what does matter? What is it that really does matter? You know, several years back, God answered this question for me, and he did it in an unusual way. And so I had the privilege of attending a funeral of a man named Orville Banzi. Orville was the father of a good friend of mine. He was a Christian. He was a simple, down-to-earth man. He was the owner of Orville Banzi Sons and Construction. He was a farmer. He was a faithful husband. He was the father of two daughters and two sons. And through his funeral, God really impressed upon my heart, or I believe that it was God, the answer to this question. It was by far the most inspirational and powerful funerals that I have attended, because it was a celebration of a successful life. It was a celebration of someone who knew what mattered. As I sat there, the questions that kept running through my mind were, what measures the success of a man? What really matters in the end? When all is said and done, what is really important? And as I pondered those questions, you know, God, like I said, he kind of impressed three things on my heart. And that is what I want to share with you here this morning. So would you like to know what I felt like he was saying? Good, because I'm going to tell you. So the first thing as to what matters is the line at your funeral. We had to wait in line for 2 hours at the visitation. I mean, there were over 1,000 people that came to pay their respects. But what does that say? I mean, he's not a politician. He's not a star by the world's standards. Why so many people? Well, the answer is because he cared about people. Because he loved and touched the lives of those that are around him in small but in powerful ways. I heard stories about how he picked up a child's bike that had been hit by a car, and he took the bike to the shop and he gave the man the money to fix the bike, and he said, I'll be back tomorrow if that's not enough. And it reminded me of Matthew 25, 37 through 40. It says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And then the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. When we serve people, we are serving Jesus. When we go out of our way to help people, we are helping Jesus. Now, how many of you, if you're driving down the highway and you knew that it was Jesus that was broke down on the side of the road, would pull over to help? I would, absolutely. I wouldn't even think twice about it. But the problem is, we don't see them as Jesus. We see them as an interruption. We see them as a problem. And so we drive on by. At the funeral, another guy got up and he shared that Orville would come into his store, he said, and he talked for an hour. 5 minutes about business and 55 minutes about the Lord. That's what he said. He said, finally, after 25 years of running from the Lord, I have accepted him. And he gave Orville the credit for his salvation. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? Orville didn't give up on people. It didn't matter how impossible the situation looked. The bottom line is that Orville loved people. Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus replied, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." The second greatest command is to love people, second only to loving God. Think about the life of Jesus. He loved people. He served people. He died for people. Why such a long line at the visitation? It's because Orville had his priorities straight. Because he cared about people. Because he took the time to invest in the only thing that lasts forever. And that's people. It's all about people. What matters in the end? Number one, the line at your funeral. In other words, the lives that you touch. Second thing is the condition of your Bible. During the visitation, Orville, when they laid him in the casket, they placed his Bible in his hands. And then later at the funeral service, they laid his Bible on top of the casket. And I didn't even notice it at first. Kathy, my wife, pointed it out to me. And as you looked at the Bible, you saw that it was worn and it was tattered. It wasn't one of those coffee table decorator pieces, you know, the kind with the hard cover and the gold trim that collect dust because they never get opened. No, this one was worn. It had gold trim, but it was faded from years of turning pages. And it was obvious, not just from the book, but from his life, that it was his anchor. It was his place of comfort in times of pain. It was his place of encouragement when he was discouraged. It was his place of direction in times of confusion. It was his place of celebration in times of victory. He was a man who depended on God's word. Matthew 4:4, it says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In other words, our source of strength should be the word of God. Our breakfast in the morning, so to speak, should be the word of God. Did Orville have unanswered questions? Sure he did. Did he have disappointments? Absolutely. Did he get attacked from Satan? More than once. Did he blow it? You bet he blew it. But he never stopped following God. He never stopped leaning on God's word. Tammy, his daughter, and friend of mine, she was sharing with me some of the struggles that he had gone through in his life. He was in construction, and right after he and his wife had accepted Christ, he built a spec home, and that home didn't sell, and so he ended up losing it to the bank. Brand new Christian, following God, hits an obstacle, disappointment, unexplainable event. At one point, he felt like God was leading him to split up with his business partner, who is not a Christian, and so they split up, and his business partner prospered, and he did not. What's up with that? Aren't the righteous supposed to prosper? Big disappointment. 1985, he decided to pursue his lifelong dream to farm. And so in 86, he put in his first year of crops, excited about the adventure that lie ahead. Well, later that year, the levee on the farm broke and he lost it all to a flood. Again, major disappointment. And that was followed by other years of bad crops due to bugs, flooding, drought, whatever. It was a cycle of hope during the planting and disappointment during the harvest. At another point in his life, he almost lost his house due to a strange set of circumstances. He went from this place of a successful contractor with trucks and employees and place at the lake, all the deal, to this point where he was driving a school bus to survive. Again, more disappointments, more unanswered questions. But in all of that, he never turned his back on God. He didn't let those circumstances stop his walk with Christ. He relied on the word of God, even when circumstances around him didn't make sense or telling him different. So my question for you this morning, is there a disappointment that is holding you back, that is keeping you at an arm's distance from God, that is keeping you from opening his book and turning the pages? Is there unanswered questions that are keeping you from moving forward in your relationship with God? You know, God never promised that we would have all the answers. He just asked that we trust him. And he promised that he would get us through no matter what. He just asked us to remain faithful to his word regardless of his circumstances. Now I don't want to paint a picture that says that Orville's life was always a struggle. I mean, that was certainly not the case. He had plenty of victories, plenty of good times. Many, many, many of them. But it's not the victories. Often it's not the victories that keeps us from pursuing Christ. It's the disappointments or the unanswered questions, which is why I was focusing on them. Romans 10:17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith is the ability to trust and to believe God when everything around you is shouting the opposite. Faith is something that comes by hearing or reading the word of God. You can't fabricate this. You can't fake it. There are no substitutes. There are no shortcuts. It only comes by reading and hearing the word of God. The way that works is that when you open your Bible and you begin to read the word of God, the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, the Holy Spirit reveals truth to our heart. And that revelation supernaturally creates faith. In other words, when God shows you something, then you know it's true because God showed it to you. When God shows you who you are in Christ, guess what? You know who you are in Christ. When God shows you his perspective on the situation, guess what? It changes your perspective on the situation. And then, even if things don't make sense, you can lean back and you can say, I trust in the Lord. I trust he's got my back. I trust that he'll get me through this. God's word should be the bedrock of our life, so that no matter what comes along, it keeps us anchored. It keeps us centered. Orville's life was an example of just that. What matters? The line at your funeral, the condition of your Bible, and then the third thing that God impressed upon my heart is the honor from your family. This is the one, just personally, that I probably blow it in the most. During the funeral service, there was a time when people would come forward and they would share. And so you sat and you listened to how Orville's life had impacted the lives of other people. And I was particularly impressed with the comments from his family. And you can fool outsiders with a good act, but you can't fool your family. I mean, they see the real you. They live with you day in and day out. They see you when you're at your worst, and they see you when you're at your best. And they bring out all the flaws that we try to hide. And so when your family is impressed, that says something. From children and grandchildren alike, they basically bestowed honor upon him. They talked of how great a man he was. Of how they talked about his love for God and his love for people and his love for family. And they talked about the inspiration of his life to them. And I'm reminded of scriptures like Proverbs 22:4. It says, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Proverbs 21:21. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children. Now that verse is actually talking about a financial inheritance, which it's important for us to leave. But I also believe that there is a spiritual inheritance that we need to leave our children and our grandchildren. I'm talking about living our lives in a way that impacts the generations that follow. Orville was a man who did that. How sad it is that our families are often the ones that get shortchanged. They're the ones that get the leftovers when it comes to our time or our energy. There's this false perception that there will always be tomorrow, and so we tend to put things off. But the problem is tomorrow never seems to come, and families fall apart. Todd, his eldest son, wrote a letter, and I'd like to read it because I think it really captures what I'm trying to say here. And he writes, he says, I thank God so much for having been able to work with my dad for all of my life. Everything I know how to do, Dad taught me, all of farming and construction, but most importantly about God. I have so many great memories because we spent almost every day together. Everyone that ever knew Dad respected him, including me. I respected him more than anyone. I was getting some materials from Construction Supply a few weeks ago, and I forgot to bring a check. After a few awkward seconds at the counter, the guy said, now who's this for? I said, Orville Banzi. Oh, he said, I know him. If it's Orville, his name is as good as gold. Just bring a check in whenever you get the chance. Proverbs 21:1 says, a good name is to be more desired than great riches. Orville had just that. We were in the motorhome on our way back from Texas 5 days ago. Mom and Dad were on the bed above the driver's seat. Dad wanted a drink of water. And when Mom went down to get him to drink, Dad took her by the arm and he helped her, even though he was so weak he couldn't sit up himself. He is always such a caring and loving person. And wow, how he loves Mom. Thanks, Dad, for loving your family so much. And thanks for being such a great example. I am so proud of you, and I love you so much. I thank God so much for giving me an awesome dad. And I thank God that this isn't goodbye, but an I'll see you later. And Dad, I can't wait to see you again. Love, Todd. P.S. Every time I see a cornfield or a John Deere tractor, I'll think of you. I only hope my son has half as much to say about me. What matters? What defines success? The line at your funeral, the condition of your Bible, and the honor from your family. So now the question that remains is, what will our funeral look like? It's never too late to begin to focus on the things that matter. I'd like to close with a secret. Well, it's not really a secret. It's more of a key. If you focus on trying to love people, if you focus on trying to be a better dad, a better mom, a better husband, wife, Christian, I mean, those are good areas to focus our energy and our time, but you'll likely come up short. Our focus should really be our relationship with Christ. We read this verse earlier, and I want to read it again. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." I think that the order in this verse is important. The power in doing the second part, the loving your neighbor, comes from the first part, the loving your Lord. Make loving God your number one pursuit, and the overflow will be the things that we just discussed. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for your guidance. And you know, this is one of those things where, you know, we can get hyped up to go do better, but we need you. And so I just pray that you would help us to pursue you in a greater way. I pray in those areas where we're blown at that you would give us the wisdom and the power and the insight to see how to do better. I pray that in those areas where we're succeeding, that you would provide the encouragement and the inspiration to keep moving forward. And Lord, I thank you that this isn't something we have to do on our own strength, but you give us the ability to do it. We just need to stay focused on you. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you guys.
I'd like to ask our welcome team to get ready. St. Charles River Church welcome team, just for a moment. The scouts are also going back to get ready to receive the offering this morning. But I would like to tell you, first of all, Joe, you're my hero. Man, he lived to tell another day, fall out of get thrown out of a raft by Boy Scouts, of all people. And by the way, I do love my bun warmers in the car. I'm very fond of them myself. And I was greatly disappointed when the last car that I purchased, I found out as I drove away, did not have bun warmers after I had them for 8 years. So I am disciplining myself to get used to cold seats the best I can. We'll make it. Yes, we will. Thanks, Scott. I know the voice. You can be dark out there, but I know the voice. Hey, listen, let me just share with you just real quick. Let me just share with you. We love having you as a partner because we believe in Scouts. We absolutely believe in Scouts. In fact, it was one of the greatest days, I believe, of our existence at St. Charles River Church. We're in our 19th year. We started on Anheuser-Busch properties, praying to God somebody would show up on that first Sunday. They had a golden retriever celebration out on this slab of concrete just before us. We had more dog hair all over us by the time we gathered for church that first Sunday. We ate and peeled dog hair off of us that first Sunday at Anheuser-Busch Properties out in Weldon Spring. And we'll never forget it. But in the 19th year, we just want to say thank you for being a part of St. Charles River Church. It was in our 18th year that the scouts made a phone call to me. I was sitting on in a restaurant at an outdoor court when Pastor Carl called me and said, "Are you ready?" I said, "I don't know. I hope so." He said, "No, I want to know. Are you ready?" And he wasn't going to take no for an answer. I said, "Yes, I am. What am I ready for?" He said, "It is going to happen." I said, "What?" He said, "The Boy Scouts, we need a new home." Within 3 minutes, we both knew Boy Scouts had found a new home. You see, God, I don't have to, you know, I love when pastors go into this, I have to pray about this. I was taught all my life, you need to fast and pray over, fast and pray. When God called me into ministry, Rex looked at me, my pastor at the time, he said, "Barry, I want you to teach the high school class." I said, "Pastor Rex, I'll pray about it." He said, "I don't need you praying about it. I need you doing it." He said, do high school students need Jesus Christ taught to them on Sunday mornings? I said, "Yeah." He said, "You going to do it?" I said, "You're messing with my religion, man. I thought we were supposed to pray about these things." "Yeah, I'll say. I thought we were supposed to pray." He said, "If you see a need in the kingdom, you meet a need." This is a green light church. You can ask Pastor Carl. I've said that since you started attending here. And Kelly, this is a green light church. What are you hearing from God? Where's our scout? You're hearing about a food provision for the community? Well, let me pray about that. You did not have to pray about that, did you? You heard it from God. God gave you instruction. You told a commander. Commanders believe you in that you hear from God. And today there is provision for over $10,000 worth of, is that what it was? $10,000 worth of food provision in a room because somebody heard from God. Didn't have to pray about it. Didn't have to fast 30 days. Right? Well, the reason I'm telling you all this is because we heard from the Lord too. Within 3 minutes, y'all were supposed to be here. Nobody asked the question. Not one of my board members asked the question, "How's that going to impact us financially?" Not one. I made the phone calls, and our board said, "When? How soon can we get the building ready? How soon?" People started making things happen. And that's what happened when you came and told a commander about scoutmaster, but the food, the group. The food pantry. Not one scoutmaster said, "Well, let's see if we can just pray about this and see if God's really." I think the motion started in motion. That's how God moves. And not one leader in this church questioned, how would that impact St. Charles River Church financially? Can I just share with you? We're not about money here. We're about people. Thank you, Joe. It is about people. It'll always be about your Boy Scouts, the young men that were up here today. It's about people. Ministry is about people. It'll always be about people. And we're going into all the world and partnering with you to preach the gospel. In fact, we're leaving in 2 weeks to go to Panama, the Republic of Panama, into a little village, a barrio called Corundu. We don't look at that and say, how much is that going to cost us? This church believes in investment, spiritual investment. We believe in sacrifice. In fact, for those of you St. Charles River Church families that are sitting here today, you know that 3 weeks ago I laid before you a sacrificial, absolutely imperative goal that we must raise $15,000 by February 16th. I laid that before you, and I think I heard some gasps. And can I tell you, we're at 10,000 right now. We're at 10,000 right now. Because you have been giving online. You have gone online and you believe in what we're doing here at St. Charles River Church. This though is about, the 15,000 is about St. Charles River Church. Pam told me a story, my associate pastor here, Pam Patton, told me a story about a grocery store. Get ready, guys, I'm almost done. Told me a story about a grocery store that was over in Wing Haven. And nobody As a whole, the community didn't do most of their shopping there. They continued to go shop at the big locations because they were more convenient. They had more choices. But that little grocery store there in Winghaven, when word went out, hey, he's closing the door. There's just not enough business. People in the community started to try and rally, and it was too late. Because, you see, we didn't support the local grocery. Guy with a vision to bring groceries to your community. Can I tell you, it takes money to run a church. How's that for just raw transparency? You remember my favorite line on It's a Wonderful Life when Jimmy, what's his name, Stewart is talking to the angel. What's his name? Clarence. When Clarence is, he says, hey, we don't need money in heaven. And Jimmy Stewart says, hey, it comes pretty handy down here, bub. I'm going to ask you this morning as Scout families to partner with us as St. Charles River Church families. I've never asked you to do this. It's still not, there's no number out there. But I can tell you, maybe someone in this room could cut a check for that remaining $5,000. Maybe a few of you in this room could cut a check for $1,000 each family. That's faith speak. I know that. I'm calling into existence something I don't have. But I'm going to tell you, some of you could write a check for $500 today. Some of you could partner with us on a monthly basis, and I want our welcome team to come up. And we're going to, if you would just raise your hand, if you're a Scout family here today, if you're a Scout family, be a part of excellence in support. We're reaching people around the world. Go ahead, raise your hand real high. If you're a Scout family visiting today, just raise your hand. We're going to put a form in your hand, just a small little form. Go ahead, guys, turn around and start handing those to everybody whose hand is up. And I want to ask you if you would consider partnering with us here at St. Charles River Church on a monthly basis. You saw a little example of what it takes to maintain. As Joe was speaking today, did you see the computer? Did you see the screens flickering on and off? We got two projection systems about to go out. They're about $4,000 each. A computer crashed over the weekend that's in that booth. Can you imagine the cost that it's going to take? Just so you know, it takes partnerships with you to maintain this facility at St. Charles River Church and to go forward with strong partnerships. Hey, listen, let me just make this clear. If you attend church, your tithe goes to your local church. I don't want your tithe. Don't you send that here. I'm going to tell you right out, flat out, don't send your tithe to this church. If you have a home church, I want that church. I want you to follow God's instruction about your tithe. But if you would partner with us above your tithe, St. Charles River Church, the Project Hope, the raising of the $15,000, that's above your tithes and offerings. Project Hope, if you would join with us, we're so close. We're so close. But if you would partner with us back to the Scout families on a monthly basis, we would so appreciate that. I'm going to ask the Scouts to come forward. They're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Come on forward, guys. Scouts, send them on. Yeah, we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Pastor Gene is going to come up after I pray, and he's going to share a little bit about... Pastor Mike, can you hand me that microphone there? He's got one. Okay. I'm going to pray. He's going to share a little bit about what's going on with our youth ministries here. We appreciate so much your partnership. St. Charles River Church, we appreciate so much your sacrifice. There is an amazing opportunity to reach the harvest here in St. Charles and in the metro area. We're talking about doing some projects here in 2019 that we believe will impact our community as well. Heavenly Father, we give this offering to you. This is yours. Our tithes, the St. Charles River Church family, we give our tithes to you. We also give our sacrificial offerings to you. Lord, for those that are Scout families, bless them in their partnerships as they fill out these cards. And today, perhaps even partner with us financially. We so, so value those partners, God. I ask that you would raise them up, raise up strong partners here in our Scout families as well. We so ask you to bless them financially as they are faithful to you in Jesus' name. Before the men leave and start to collect, let me just tell you, I'd like for you to fill out that card if you would. Some of you have to do the lower amount. Some of you could do, there's a $100 amount on there. If you would also fill out, go ahead and fill that card out and check that out. And if you could also partner with us today, we appreciate that. So guys, go right ahead. Pastor Gene, come on up and tell us a little bit about what's going on with youth.
Good morning. Bear with me. I have a bit of a cold today, but we'll work through it. Aren't these young men something else? They're amazing, are they not? I'll be honest with you, I think I was a Cub Scout for one day. As I recall, I had to walk there, and I had to walk back, and I decided that was just too much work. That's not for me. But I did just want to take a minute to share with you some of the upcoming dates that the youth have. And starting with next Sunday, we're going to be meeting in here for worship. Then we're going into the back for some fun games and a devotional. And as Pastor Carl actually mentioned earlier today, we have fun to get them here. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I used a term, and I'm going to say it. Nobody raise your hand because it's a term I made up. It's not real. But in the youth, I made up this term called, have you ever heard of a church druggie? And a couple of them raised their hand and said, yep, our dad's a church addict. And I said, well, that's not really what I meant. But what I meant was someone who just doesn't want to go to church, and they have to be dragged to church. And I know as a teen, I was that way. I can remember laying in bed. I wouldn't even get up to go to the bathroom because I didn't want to run the risk. Yeah, I've been called worse. I didn't want to run the risk of waking my parents up, hoping that they would sleep through it, and then we didn't have to go. So part of what we're trying to do here on Sunday morning is to ease that tension with you, the parents, a little bit by making it fun for them to come. You know, we'll go in the back, we'll play ping pong and foosball and air hockey, and we'll still have a devotional, and we'll have some conversations with them and get to know everybody a little better. So that is next Sunday. The 20th, Wednesday night at 7, we are going to have Nerf War 2 in here. So if you're a teenager and you have Nerf guns, bring them. If you're a teenager and you don't have Nerf guns, that's okay. I have plenty. And we'll probably come in here and we'll shoot them for about an hour and do various things with that. So then the following Sunday, the 24th, we'll be back in here, and then we'll go back into the service again. And then Friday, March 1st, we're going to plan an event. We don't know what it's going to be just yet. We may go bowling, or we may have movie night at the house, at our house, or we may plan something else. So watch for your emails, parents. If you are a parent of a teen and you've not received an email from me, stop me after service and let me get the email account from you so that you can be informed. And actually, we have a lot of visitors here. If you don't have a home church or a home youth group and you would like to participate, stop me. Let me get your email address so that you guys can stay current with everything that's going. And in the future, just so that you know, a couple months out from now, we're going to be looking at spending a day at a lake. We're going to have pool parties. We're going to have bonfires and hay rides. We might even go rock climbing, the plastic ones, not the ones with cliffs. That doesn't work for me. But anyway, thank you.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.